Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We want to be a place where you can own your faith and take next steps in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe your next step is to seek out community and join a movement group. Maybe it's supporting movement financially for the first time or using your gifts on a volunteer team. Whatever God is calling you to do, our prayer is that you will step out in faith and let Him lead you. For more information about your next step, please visit movementcolumbus.com. All right. Well, good morning, Movement Church. My name is Joel, and I'm the 6 out of 10 that Mark was just talking about a minute ago. You know that feeling you have like 3 years after you graduated high school, and you go back, and you're like, I think they're all going to know me, and I think they're going to throw a parade for me. And then you go back, and nobody even remembers your name, including your teachers. That's kind of how I feel today. It's great to be back. But it's so fun to see all the different people that God has brought to Movement Church since we left. This still feels like home. I wasn't sure how it would feel walking in today because it's been a few years since we've been here. But then I got me a Phil Hill bear hug over there by the coffee table. And I just felt like I was home, you know, in the arms of Phil. I came back today to tell you a story of how God has used you. And how God has worked through you, Movement Church. And you might be sitting there thinking, I don't know that God has ever used me, and I beg to differ. I'd like to tell you a story today that would beg to differ with that assumption. This story would take hours and hours and hours to tell if I told all the details. I'm just going to skim the surface for a few minutes this morning, but I do want to get right into it so that you know how God has used you in my life and in Gahanna, Ohio. In August of 2016, so you know, I guess 3 or 4 years ago, Morgan and I lived in Branson, Missouri, and we were convinced that God wanted us to plant a church. I never wanted to be a pastor. I didn't dream of doing this. In fact, I didn't want to be a pastor, adamantly, but God put it on our hearts to start a new church. But then all the questions come to the top of your mind. Where do we go? Who do we go with? Is anybody else interested in doing this with us? And so I called the only person I knew in the world that had just planted a church. His name's Mark Artrip, and he likes shoes too much. And I called him, and I said, Mark, I don't know what to do with this. God just has put this on my heart. I tried to stiff arm it for 18 months. I just have to say yes. What did this look like for you? And I remember that conversation. I said something like, Mark, what if you hire me? And I was going to finish my sentence and say, what if you hire me for a year and then send us out with a launch team and we'll start a new church? And he cut me off after I said, what if you hire me? And he said, Joel, I have no interest in hiring you. I thought, 6 out of 10, that's what he really thinks about me. And the rest of his sentence was, Joel, I have no interest in hiring you. What I want to do is bring you on for a year and then send you out with a team to start a new church. And I just felt like he said the words that were in my head. And I just felt like God was saying, like, this is the way to go. Walk in it. And we came here. Nobody has ever cared for Morgan and I and our family. We had a newborn baby at the time. Nobody has cared for us like this church did. We moved into an apartment over on this side of town and prayed about where God would send us next. I remember right before the first Sunday, I said, Mark, so like, is anybody off limits? Who should we take? And he said, Joel, you can take anybody you want except my wife. And I was like, well, that's kind of selfish, Mark, for you to say that, because Kristen should be able to do it. Never, anyways, we just came in and we felt like Movement was like this. They said, whatever God wants, that's what we want. And so we came and we learned, and your DNA was put into our bones. That December of our residency year, we had a meeting call. We met at Grater's. This is a picture of it. The first time anybody interested in Three Creeks came to find out anything about Three Creeks. And we called it Greater Things Are Still to Come, which in hindsight is so dumb and cheesy. But it worked, right? I mean, there's 18 people there. And then a few months later, we had an info interest meeting in March of that spring. And we met back there in the AB room where the kids are right now. And that Sunday, I just remember the weeks leading up to that Sunday, Mark standing up here and daring people to come check it out. Not living like this, but living like this. And some people came to that. We ended up If you look at this next picture, you can actually see some of the logos that we came up with. We decided that we would call it Three Creeks Church because Gehenna is a Native American word that means three creeks coming together. We wanted to be a church for Gehenna. So this was the first concept. Somebody called that YMCA church. So we changed it. And then it was like, well, maybe we should do Green Bacon Church. That would be good. This was the second one. Mark drew this one. I call that one Turkey Foot Church. And then we landed on Three Creeks Church. And I remember in August of 2018, some of you were here on this particular Sunday when it was Sending Sunday, when about 40 people stood up here on stage and you prayed for us and you sent us. I still feel those bittersweet feelings where so many of you said goodbye to some of your closest friends in the name of sending the gospel to the other side of town. And I remember just laughing and celebrating and crying and hugging, and I remember all the feels. And I think that was the last time that I was here. And it's just amazing if I look back now at all that God has done. I get it that some of you have no idea what Three Creeks Church is. Some of you were here that day and before this day. Some of you were here that day and you haven't thought about it since. Some of you have kept a close watch on us via the gram. And what's interesting about social media is that, you know, you can put filters on it and make it look a little different than it actually is, right? Like, if I take a picture from up here, it doesn't look like I have a dad bod, but I do. And you can disguise things on Instagram and on social media. So, Movement Church, I came back today to tell you a story of how God has worked through you. And if you haven't followed us, that's okay. Let me update you as to what has happened in the last 2 or 3 years over on the east side of town. That first launch team meeting we had 2 weeks after that Sending Sunday, we had 73 people show up. About 50 of them were sent and raised up here from Movement Church to go and help us. And I remember we had 58 adults and 15 kids. None of us had a clue what we were doing, but we prayed a lot and we loved God and we wanted people to know who Jesus was. And it just felt like everything we were trying was for the first time ever. A few months later, we had a preview service. 95 people came to our first preview service. I felt like I was a megachurch pastor. I was like, this is not right that I'm responsible for this many people at once. God has just made things grow. We did went to two services this fall. The last few weeks, we've had about 250 people on Sunday mornings come in to worship Jesus with us. And it's not only on Sunday mornings, but we have 185 people in our community groups, which is a page that we stole from your playbook. We do it the same way as you. We call them community groups. Everyone has a leader and everyone has an apprentice. And when the groups get to a certain size, we multiply. New groups for new people. We've gone from 5 to 7 to 9 to 11 to now 16 groups. And in hindsight, I was thinking about those first 5 group leaders that started this thing going. They all were raised up here at Movement Church as a leader or an apprentice and have taken the ball and they have run with it. This is some fruit that was growing on your tree. You didn't even know about it. Just think about that for a minute. So not only that, but we stole some other pages from your playbook. Another page that we stole was a heart for the world. Y'all have this partnership with Haiti, and when Morgan and I were here at Movement, we thought, well, we want to do something somewhere else too. And so we took a team over to the country of Burkina Faso in Africa. We took a team to an area of the country where no one knows Jesus, no one knows the gospel. And there was a pastor that was moving into a town with no Christians. And we built this church building. It's like a pavilion for him. We dug a well on the same property. When we left there, there were 9 people in their church. And today, 14 months later, this morning, on February 23rd, today, over 100 people were crammed under that little pavilion worshiping Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like, and I want you to know, Movement, that this is a story about what God has done through you. I know that I guess maybe that's hard for you to put together, but for me, I stand in the middle and I go, you got to know that God has used you in this way. Another page that we stole out of your playbook was that we're not totally focused on getting people into a gym on Sundays. We want to serve our city in a way that makes them go, why are you serving us? Why are you loving us? And it gives us the chance to say, because somebody served us and somebody loved us, his name's Jesus, can I tell you about him? We've just tried to live that way. And so we started English classes. The school that we meet in is the most diverse school in all of Columbus as far as nations represented, 39 nations represented in our school, 180 kids, about 20% of the kids in the school are in the EL program, and all their parents have come from other countries. They don't speak English, so we started English classes for all their parents. We got that idea when we were here at Movement, with a church that you guys, we were doing that when we were here. This is where it all started for us. There's a bunch of families in need in Gahanna, so we started this Christmas store for families in need. And our first year, we had like 65 families come through and shop. And then this year, we partnered with 7 other churches in town. 308 families came through the Gahanna gift shop this year. And it's because we just took from you, your DNA, that this isn't about getting people together on a Sunday morning. It's about living a life for Jesus, not just on Sunday morning. And I just, 27 people have been baptized and publicly declared their faith at Three Creeks in our first 2 years. Movement, I came to tell you a story about how God has used you. And I realized that as I rattle off statistics that like some of them are impressive, but I don't think they're that memorable because numbers don't have faces and they're not, I haven't shared any names with you yet. And so I thought I'd just take a few minutes to tell you about a couple individual people whose lives have been changed forever because of you, because of this church. The first person I want to tell you about is a guy named Jesse. Jesse and his wife Amanda came to Three Creeks on the second week of our church's existence. They were just married, and she said she wanted to go to church. And when you're just married, when your wife says you want to go to church, you go to church. And I remember asking Jesse, have you ever been before? He said, oh, maybe a handful of times, but churches are full of hypocrites. I was like, I know. I know they are. Man, will you just come and find out more about God, though? And he comes and they got in a group. He's trying it out. I could tell about a year in that his curiosity was piqued. This is 15 months after he started coming to Three Creeks. He's over at my house and we were in my backyard building a fire. And I remember asking him straight up, point blank, Jesse, have you ever had a moment in your life where you have admitted that you need someone to save you and you've prayed and asked Jesus to do that for you? Have you ever had that happen for you? He said, no, I haven't. I said, Jesse, do you want to do that right now? He said, no. You thought it was going to go different, didn't you? I said, Jesse, that's okay. I'm not trying to pressure you. I said, hey, here's a few verses that I would just love for you to think about. Love for you to read on your own time. But Jesse, I'm just telling you, like, if you believe that this is true, if God really makes himself real to you by reading these things, if you believe this is true, will you tell me about it or will you let me be there? I long for you to have the same experience that I have with God. I'm jealous for you in that way. And he said, yeah, I'll let you know. So the next day I text him, Jesse, have you had a chance to read those verses? He said, yes. And something amazing happened to me last night. I said, well, what is this amazing thing that happened? He said, I got home from your house and someone texted me and asked me to go play basketball. And I didn't want to, but I felt like I should. Have you ever heard of the Holy Spirit before? He said, I felt like I should. These are his words, not mine. And I went, and turns out it was a church group playing basketball. I had no idea. And in the middle of the games, the pastor stops everybody and says, can he just have 5 minutes of everybody's time? And everybody gathers around, and Jesse texts me. He says he started talking about John 3:16, which is the same verse that you talked about last Sunday at church, that God loved me so much. And Jesse said, I just knew that God was speaking to me. And so right there in that basketball court, I gave my life to Jesus. Movement Church, I'm telling you a story about what God has done through you. And I know that it might be hard for you to put all these pieces together, but being the person that stands in the middle, I can see what God is doing through you. I have a glimpse into it. Jesse and his wife, Amanda, they're still at Three Creeks. If you come over, visit sometime, and you check your kids in to Three Creeks Kids, they might be the ones right there saying, welcome, how can we help you? They're the hosts at the desk. They're awesome. And this is a picture of Kate. Kate came to Three Creeks on January 6th last year, New Year's resolution. going to try out God, going to check out church, going to see if this is something she wants to implement in her life, going to check it out and see if all of this is real. Hadn't been to church in years, didn't really grow up in church. Comes, and 6 weeks in, she decides she wants to be baptized. And so when we have people be baptized at Three Creeks, we ask them a couple questions, one of them being, what does it mean to be a Christ follower? She filled it out, and we read it, and it's like, I don't think that's what it means to be a Christ follower. That doesn't seem like the right answer to me, at least according to the Bible. And so we just see that as an opportunity to tell somebody what God really has done. And so Erica, our kids director, goes and meets with Kate over a cup of coffee and explains to Kate that being a Christ follower is not about what you do for Jesus. It's about what Jesus did for you. Explains the gospel, that this is God's work on our behalf that we get to receive, that it's a free gift. And Kate goes, well, can I have it? Can I have the free gift? And right there, Kate prayed and received Jesus. And what's so cool is that story comes full circle. Last week, we had our Three Creeks Turns 2 birthday party. Kate shows up an hour and a half early and hangs up 150 pictures around our lobby celebrating all that God has done in the last year and a half or 2 years. And she's hanging up pictures of herself. Can you believe that? She's hanging up pictures of her coming out of a tub. I think that's the picture. She's hanging it up saying, man, look at all that God has done in my life. Movement, I came over to tell you a story about what God has done through you. You didn't even know it. The last person I'm going to tell you about is a person named Anthony. Anthony was invited to church by his neighbor, and he is going through a hard, hard season in his life. He's going through the end of a marriage that he never imagined would end. He's got major uncertainty in his future. He comes for a couple weeks, doesn't come for a couple weeks. I'm kind of wondering where he's at. Out of the blue, he texts me, hey, Joel, I have a big decision in my life to make. I need you to help me make it. I'm like, dude, I'm 33. I don't know how to make that decision. I don't have that much experience. However, I will tell you how I make big decisions in my life. So come on over. So he comes over. We're kicking a soccer ball around in my backyard. And I just explained to him that it's through my relationship with God and through prayer that I ask God to guide me in the big decisions of my life. So I said to him, I said, tell me about your relationship with God. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, do you have one? He said, oh, yeah, definitely. And I said, well, how do you know? He said, well, 2 weeks ago, I quit this job and I didn't even know it, but I was putting money into a 401k. And now I have this new job, and my old job just called me and asked me where they want to roll the $2,000 into, because I get to roll $2,000 that I didn't know I had into a new 401k. I said, dude, that has nothing to do with a relationship with God. I stood there and I explained. I said, Anthony, do you know the difference between the common grace of God and the special grace of God? Do you know that God is good to everybody on the earth in some ways? This is the common grace of God, that whether you believe in Jesus or not, you still get sunsets and beaches and campfires and hoodies and sushi and Remember the Titans, all these good things that we experience in life. You realize, like, this is the common grace of God, the goodness of God that's shared with everybody. But there's the special grace of God, the forgiveness for our sins, the eternal life that we only get if we put our faith in Jesus. I said, Anthony, did you ever do that before? He said, no. I said, not even when you were a kid. No. And I said, Anthony, I'm not trying to pressure you into this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and I want you to read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I said, the first time you read it, I think it's gonna confuse you. So read it again, 4 times, 5 times. Just think about it. It'll take you 10 minutes, and I want you to show up tomorrow morning at church at 6:25. I want you to be on the setup team tomorrow. I want you to show me how much you want this. And we need help setting up chairs. So 6:25. I didn't think he'd come, and he did. He showed up at 6:25 and said, Joel, I read it. And I said, awesome. I said, come find me between the two services. And he said, okay. And he found me, tracked me down in the hallway between the two services and said, Joel, I read it. I said, and? And he said, I want it. I want in. I want the part where it says, but God. In verse, I think it's 4 or 5, the part where it says, but God. And it talks about that our salvation is not dependent on our works, but his work, that's already done. And we prayed, and Anthony prayed. I heard him pray to give his life to Jesus for the first time. And Movement, I'm just telling you a story about what God has done through you. For those of you that were here 2.5 years ago or 3 years ago, when you sent us over to Gahanna, let me just ask you a couple questions. Isn't it encouraging to hear these things? Isn't it amazing when you sent your friends and when you sacrificed and when you gave financially to help us start? Isn't it nice to be reminded or be given a glimpse of all that God has done over there? But let me ask you another question that I think is a deeper question and one that pokes at your heart a little bit. If I never came back and told you the stories, would it still have been worth it? If you never got to hear the update and you never got to hear the numbers and you never got to see all that God did and you never heard any of these stories at all, would it still have been worth it? Let me ask that question in this cultivation language that you guys have been talking about here for a couple weeks. Are you okay in your life planting seeds knowing that you will actually never taste the fruit from it? Are you living your life, listen, are you living your life being obedient no matter what, trusting that God is at work, whether you see it or not? These are difficult questions. They're questions that poke at our hearts and really challenge our maturity in our faith. Maybe you've heard of a guy named Paul. I'd love to just turn our eyes to the scriptures here just for a few minutes. If you have your Bibles, turn them on or turn to them, or maybe if you don't have one, you can look at the words on the screen behind me. But I'm going to read you a couple verses from the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 4. If you don't know who Paul is, let me tell you who he is briefly. Paul was a first century missionary. He hated Jesus for the first half of his life and then spent his 30s, 40s, and 50s planting churches. I would say that he's been the most influential Christian in the history of the world. Some say that he and his buddies planted 14 churches over a period of 20 or 30 years. Some say that they planted up to 20 churches. What they would do is they would go from town to town to town, planting church after church after church. Sometimes they would stay there for 2 weeks. Sometimes they'd stay there for 2 years. But when they would appoint leaders of that church, they would then move on to the next one. And they would trust messengers to bring reports back from these churches over the course of time. Obviously, this doesn't come as a surprise, but I should remind you that there's no news. There's no Facebook, there's no Instagram, there's no cell phones, there's no pictures, there's no videos. It's all hearsay. It's all words on a piece of paper. You don't, if you're not there, you can't see it with your own eyes 2,000 years ago. And Paul writes to his protege, Timothy, towards the end of his life. This is the last letter he ever wrote. And before I read these verses, I just want you to think about this for a minute. Is it fair to assume that Paul did not get to see all that God did in those churches? Isn't that a fair thing to say? Given the day and age that he was planting all these churches, isn't it fair to say that God did more than Paul saw? Isn't it fair to say that Paul planted seeds and never got to see all of the fruit with his own eyes? Do you imagine that Paul, on a bad day, wondered if the churches were still even in existence? Do you wonder if Paul wondered if God had used him at all? I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the reports he was getting back from these churches weren't good ones. He had to write hard letters to write back to them because they were off the rails. And I imagine that Paul has these moments on his worst day where he wonders if his life even counted, if any of it was worth it, if the sacrifice had paid off in any way whatsoever. But you see that Paul, his goal in life was to be obedient to God no matter what, trusting God with the results, whether he got to see him or not. This, look what he writes to his protege Timothy at the end of his life. He's in prison when he writes this. Verse 6, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Paul is in prison. He is about to die. He writes this letter as a baton being passed to the next guy. And he goes, The time for my departure is near. I know that this is the end of my life. I'm done. And he writes, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I just love that Paul did not write, I hope it worked. It might have worked. Because to Paul, a life well lived wasn't about the fruit that he tasted. It was about the seeds that he planted. Paul was not dying hesitant and hopeful. He was dying confident. Because to Paul, success was not seeing results. Success was being obedient. Paul gets to the end of his life. He writes to Timothy, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I literally did everything that I thought that God wanted me to do. I don't know of anything that I could have done that was more. Like I did everything that I felt like God wanted me to do, and I'm just trusting God with the results. If I don't see the fruit, that doesn't mean there wasn't fruit. I'm just trusting that God will do whatever he wanted to do with what I did. I don't know. That's how he dies. And he writes, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. He's talking about heaven. If you know anything about Paul, this dude's been longing to go to heaven for a while. A number of years before he wrote this to Timothy, he actually writes this letter to the Philippians, and he says, I actually am kind of hoping that I die because I can't wait to go be with Jesus. He's so excited to go to heaven. And I don't know if, in fact, I'm certain that it probably won't play out this way, but I think this illustration I want to talk to you about might help us live well today. I'm imagining Paul getting to heaven, finally. He's been waiting. He gets there and he gets to sit down in this big lazy boy chair. He's got a big bucket of buttered popcorn and an ice cold Coca-Cola. I imagine that he's in his own private movie theater, big screen in front of his face, and he gets to watch whatever he wants. It's heaven. And I just imagine that he chooses to watch a movie of all that God did in his life that he never got to see when he was on the earth. I think in heaven you could probably do that. I don't know. I just imagine him watching this movie, and you guys, it's a thriller. It's full of twists and turns and surprises, moments where Paul's spitting the popcorn out of his mouth going, no way. I had no idea that God was going to use that way. I didn't even know that was going on. How could I have known? Lord, thank you. Wow, what a life. What a life well lived. I didn't even know I was living that life. See, to Paul, a life well lived was not tasting fruit. It was planting seeds, trusting that God would make it grow. Are you in your life planting seeds, knowing that you may never taste the fruit yourself? I think about how this question relates to me and me sharing my faith with people. Because I've heard these things. I've heard that it on average takes somebody 20 times hearing the gospel of Jesus before they accept it. And I just have to ask myself the question, like, am I okay being number 6? Or am I okay being number 19? Like, I don't get to see the fruit myself. I don't get to be there holding their hand when they pray to receive Christ. Am I okay planting a seed knowing that I may never see the fruit? I think about this as it relates to discipleship. This church is chock full of college students, like tons of them. And it's also full of older people that have a lot of life that has been lived and a lot of experience to pass on. I just think, like, are we planting seeds? Are we investing our time, our energy, our wisdom into somebody that's younger than us who we know will move away when they graduate? We know they will move away, and they probably won't say thank you, and we probably won't get to see the fruit. We probably won't get to see their kids raised up in a Christian home because of your investment. Are you planting seeds knowing that you may not taste the fruit? I think about parenting. I've got a couple of little ones. Bunch of y'all have a bunch of little ones. I just think about parenting. Am I planting a seed in my children that I'll never taste the fruit of? Like, am I okay parenting in a way that I may be long gone before I see the fruit of it? I was thinking about this recently. Am I parenting in a way that blesses me or blesses my grandchildren? There's a difference. There's a difference between making my life more convenient and blessing the lives of my descendants, knowing that I'll never taste the fruit. I think about my money. I think about where I'm spending my money, where I'm investing my money, and going, man, are all these investments that I'm making, am I hoping that they come back and I get to reap the reward of them? Or am I investing my money somewhere knowing that I won't and someone else will one day? Are you willing to plant a seed knowing that you may never taste the fruit of it? You see, if we live in a way that we only plant seeds where we get to see the fruit, are we living for ourselves or are we living for God? It's a hard question, but it's an honest question that you ought to answer, because living for Jesus means planting seeds of trees that you don't plan on eating the fruit from. Living for Jesus means planting seeds of trees that you don't plan on eating the fruit from. And God designed it this way on purpose. Paul wrote another letter to the Corinthians, and he said, listen, this is how it works. Some of you guys, you plant seeds. Some of you water seeds. God makes things grow. God makes things grow. And he did that for our benefit, to protect us from pride and remind us who's big. Y'all with me on that? He set it up this way because if we saw all the fruit, we might think we're something. But he said, no. Some people water things. Some people plant seeds. God makes them grow. It's how God set it up. Are you willing to be a planter? Are you willing to be a waterer? Are you willing to be obedient and serve God and never see the whole picture of what God is up to until you get to heaven and get to watch your movie? Buttered popcorn, Coca-Cola, big screen TV. I just be honest with you. I don't want you to get to heaven and watch that movie and be bored and go, I already saw this happening. I really didn't live outside of myself, bigger than myself. It kind of was all circling back to benefit me. And so you kind of watch this movie and you go, I already know this story. I want you to go and be blown away at all that God has done through you. God's work doesn't depend on us quite as much as we think that it does. And at first, that kind of sounds discouraging, but if you think about it, it's kind of relieving that it's God who makes things grow. We just plant seeds. We just water seeds. That's the obedient life. The successful life isn't the one where we just gorge ourselves with all the fruit that we think ought to be born. It's a life where we plant seeds and trust that God makes things grow. There's a person who lives in Grandview right now who's going to pray to receive Jesus in a year or two. I don't know who it is. But that's going to happen because somebody makes an obedient decision today in this church. We're planting Contrast Church. They're going to take the gospel into one of the darkest areas of our city. And somebody there is going to pray to receive Jesus. And that person is not going to know who you are. And you're not going to know who they are. Are you okay with that? This is the mature Christian life, where we live so much bigger than ourselves, where we plant seeds knowing we may never get to eat the fruit. And that's okay, because it's God who makes things grow. Movement Church, I hope you're encouraged knowing that God has made things grow, and I hope you keep planting seeds. If you're not planting seeds, I think you should start, and if you have been, I think you ought to keep going. I'm thankful I got to just give you a glimpse. Sometimes when God gives us a glimpse of what he's done, it encourages us to keep going, and I hope I was able to do that today. Will you pray with me? God, I pray over this church right now. I pray over these people right now. I pray for the person who is sitting here right now, that you are calling to plant a seed. You're calling somebody here to share their faith. You're calling somebody here to disciple somebody younger than them. You're calling somebody in here to change something about the way that they're parenting. You're calling somebody in here to spend their money somewhere else, invest in something beyond themselves. And God, I pray that you would inspire them to be obedient today, God. I pray somebody in here right now would be inspired to plant a seed that they don't ever expect to see the fruit from. And I pray you would give them a deep peace in their heart about this. And God, we pray that you would make it grow. Father, I pray over Contrast Church. I pray over Trey, and I pray over Sarah, and I pray over their meeting today. I pray over launch teams this fall, their launch services next spring. God, I pray for all of it. I just pray your blessing on it, Lord. If you would have anybody in here play more of a role in what you're doing there, God, would you not let us off the hook? Would you make us do it? We want to be obedient. We don't want to be results driven. We know you make things grow. God, thanks for giving me a glimpse today of all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We hope wherever you are, this message encourages you to take your next step in your relationship with Jesus. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or giving online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.